And we're holding on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis by the Mishnah. We started talking yesterday about shluchim to bring the get, and actually I didn't really explain properly the difference between the different kinds of shluchim. So throughout the Masechta we're going to have, and here today we'll have a little bit about them. You have as follows. There's a shliach hilacha, which is a shliach of the husband. So he or she stands in place of the husband. That person brings the get to the wife, gives it to her. As soon as she receives it from him, she's considered divorced. It's the equivalent of the husband himself giving it to her. That was what we were talking about yesterday when we said about an eved, where Rashi explained that the Gemara's question was whether an eved can be any kind of shliach. So the Gemara had focused on shliach Kabbalah, but in fact Rashi said the question would have been on shliach halacha, on the eved being a shliach for the husband as well. Whereas the Rinnegash, we said, held that a shliach halacha he could be, same way as the husband could appoint him a shliach for other purposes, the question would only be on the other kind. Anyway, so a shliach halacha is a shliach of the husband, that his job is to stand in place of the husband and give the get to the wife. Then you have the opposite of that is shliach kabbalah, which is a shliach that the wife appoints to receive the get, and when that person receives it, it's considered that she's divorced. That shliach stands in place of the wife. Whether you can have one shliach give to another, that we're going to discuss briefly in the Gemara today, and we'll have it in more detail later in the Masechta. And then you have a third kind of shliach called the shliach hava, which is also appointed by the wife, but she doesn't stand in place of the wife. Her job is just to, the job of the shliach hava is just to bring the shliach from the husband, to bring the get from the husband, or from his shliach, to her, but it still won't take effect until she or her shliach receives it. So those are the three kinds of shliach that you can have as far as a get. So yesterday we were focusing just on two of them, the question of whether the husband can send his eved as a shliach halacha, or whether the wife can send hers as a shliach kabbalah. So today we're also going to be talking more about these various kinds of shluchim briefly, but the details of them are going to be much later in the Masechta. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, Af Hanashim Shein. Now, we learned back in Yevamos that we said that when Edim come, or even one aid, or even a woman, etc., comes and says that a woman's husband has died, then generally speaking, we allow her to remarry on the basis of that. However, we said over there that there were certain women, certain relatives of hers, who were concerned our doctor going to try to mess her up and falsely testify that her husband is dead, so that then she'll figure I can remarry, and then when her husband turns up alive, then there's going to be all kinds of consequences and penalties that we learned in detail about in Yevamos, including the fact that she's just starting with the fact that she's going to have to get divorced from both of them. Anyway, so our Mishnah is going to mention that point. Even the five women who are not believed to say that her husband is dead, because we assume that they might be trying to mess her up and then testify falsely, we do believe them to bring the actual get. So they can be a shliach halacha or a shliach hava or any kind of shliach or any of these three kinds of shliach b'vashros. Because the fact is that they have a get with them. So, and they are one of the five, Chamosa, her mother-in-law, or Bas Chamosa, her mother-in-law's daughter, so the woman's sister-in-law, the Tsarosa, the woman's Tsara, her co-wife, where back before Cherimdia Ben Gershem, where he was married to two wives, the Yevimta, her other kind of sister-in-law, her brother's wife, or Bas Baila, and her stepdaughter, her husband's daughter. And we learned in Yevamos, each one of them has reasons to not like her. Each one of them has a certain underlying feeling like she's gonna be getting something that they feel they deserve. The mother-in-law, for example, feels that look at this, everything that my husband and I worked all the years to put together, all of the assets are now going to go to my son. Fine, that's good. We like our son, but they're also going to go to his wife, and then we don't necessarily like her so much. She's a stranger to the family. The same thing, the Bas Chamosa figure is the same kind of thing, that all of what her parents worked for is going to go to the strange woman, and so forth with each of the other ones, as we learned over there in Yevamos. So nevertheless, those five, in any of them could bring her get, and it would be considered a kosher get. Ma beget l'misa. So what is the difference between a get, which we will trust them to bring, versus misa, where we don't trust them to say that her husband is dead? The difference is, the writing of the get demonstrates that what they're telling is the truth. We're going to see a little bit about it in the Gemara, a couple of possibilities, what all this means, and when we believe them and when not. And the Mishnah continues, Isha atzma mavia es gita, a woman herself can bring her own get from Chutz La'aretz, over vat, she tzricha loim, b'fanin nechtam, however, she would have to declare, b'fanin nechtam, she would be considered a shliach for that purpose. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara, why should she need to be? As soon as she received her own get, she's divorced, why would she need to say b'fanin nechtam? So we're going to discuss that in some detail in the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Vahatanya, now you're telling me in the beginning of the Mishnah that any of these five women could validly bring her get, be a shliach halacha or shliach havah or whatever. So the question is, Vahatanya, so it's not a shliach kabbalah really, because a shliach kabbalah, maybe the pastors were primarily talking over here about a shliach halacha who was appointed by the husband, because a shliach havah and shliach kabbalah would have to be appointed by the woman. She herself would know, I guess, whether they like her or not, and whether she can trust them. But a shliach halacha, where the husband sends with them to bring the get, and then that shliach is supposed to give it to her, and at which point it'll take effect. So we need to know that nevertheless it works. But the question is, v'hatanya k'shem she'ein ne'emon eslam mesbayla, a braisa says, just as we don't believe these five, any of these five, to say her husband is dead, kach ein ne'emon eslam gita. The same way, they're not believed to bring her get. So how does that fit with the Mishnah, who said that they could bring her get? And the answer is, Amar Rabbi Yosef, like kasha, kan ba'aretz, kan b'chotz la'aretz. So Rabbi Yosef says, there's a difference between Eretz within Eretz Yisrael, versus from Eretz Yisrael from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, or any of the other cases that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, where you have to say b'fanei nechtam. The difference is, Rabbi Yosef says, ba'aretz the lava di bode di dark hasamchinan. In Eretz Yisrael, we don't have to rely on her word because she's not required to say b'fanei nechtam when the get is being brought from one place to another in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, we're not relying on what she says. Mehena. Therefore, we can believe her. But when she's coming from Chutz La'aretz and she has to be able to say b'fanei nechtam, so now already it's not just the get that we can rely on. Now we need also her verbal statement. Then already that Rabbi Yosef says that would be the braisa saying that we can't necessarily trust her. What if she's saying b'fanei nechtam falsely and really it was not? And then later on, it's going to turn out that the get would be no good. And meanwhile, this woman has remarried, and you have all the various consequences that she had for remarrying without a proper get. But Omale Abaya, Adraba Ibcha Mistabra. Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, just the opposite. You should say, yes, we can distinguish between within Eretz Yisrael versus from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, but if anything, Abaya says, the logic should go the other way around. Because we have to consider, in Eretz Yisrael, we learned earlier in the Masechta that since the shliach doesn't have to say b'fanei nechtam, therefore there's always the possibility that the husband himself might come and object. He doesn't have any evidence, for example, he doesn't have any actual evidence that the get is forged, but he claims that it was. Tosfos at the beginning of the Sechta discusses actually that maybe we're not necessarily saying his error is not actually to say that the result of his objection is that we would say the get is actually possible, or maybe not. Maybe just we would still say, you know what, you want to say that's possible, bring evidence that in fact you didn't write it or that it wasn't written l'shma or whatever, but until you do, we're going to consider it kosher. Nevertheless, there is moitzi laav and people start questioning the validity of the get. In any case, the fact is that if you don't have b'fanei nechtam, then the husband always has the ability to do that. So therefore, mashgichin, we will pay attention to him. So therefore, Abaya argues, if one of these five women is bringing the get within Eretz Yisrael and not saying b'fanu nechtam, then we might say we might well say that they're coming dafka in order to mess her up. That so what happens? She brings a get without saying b'fanu nechtam, because it's within Eretz Yisrael and she doesn't have, and there's no takonis chachamim that she should. So what happens? And she has in mind that the woman is going to get remarried with this get, and then figuring the husband will come along and bring up an iru in Beis Din. And again, either Beis Din will say yes as a result of that get is possible, and we're going to have all the various consequences for her for having remarried without a proper get. Or again, as Tosfos had said earlier, maybe not. Maybe we wouldn't actually say the get is possible, but still people are going to start wagging their tongues and talking about what happened. So therefore, we could argue, loy mehemna, that's a reason not to believe any of these women. B'chutz la'aretz, whereas if she has to bring the get from chutz la'aretz, d'i osi, and say, b'fon a nechtam, d'i osi ba, d'i osi ba'al ma'aru, loy mashpichin bay. Now, when they say, b'fon a nechtam, if the husband comes later on, and brings an objection against the get, then we're not going to pay attention to him. We talked about on Daf Gimel, that's how it is. Once the Chachamim made the Takana of b'fon a nechta, and then when the Shliach says that, then we don't pay attention to any objections of the husband anymore. We talked about over there, there was the idea that, since after all, you have not only the shliach himself, the shliach has to give it to her in the presence of Beis Din and declare b'fanu nechtam, or yeah, okay, you had a difference of opinion over there whether you need two or three, but whatever the point is, that you have now many people over there. You have an entire composition of the Beis Din. Either the shliach together with the two dayanim makes three, or if the shliach himself doesn't count as a dayan because ein eid nasa dayan, then you need three separate ones. Whatever the case, the point is, therefore, the shliach is going to be particular when he first receives it to make sure that everything is on the up and up. So therefore, the Chachamim said that even if the husband now comes with objections, then we say that doesn't hold any weight. So now, in that case, we could argue Mehenna. That would be a good reason to believe her. Because how could she possibly be doing anything to mess up the woman whose get she brought, given that they bring the get, they have a written get, they have a written and signed get with them. They're saying b'fanu nechta, and at that point, that blocks off any further possibilities of what could go wrong with the get. Tosfos points out, Rav Yosef might answer that still, the fact is that suppose that the husband brings edim or solid proof, or brings edim and a solid proof that he didn't bring her a get, then still it could still mess her up. But Abaya doesn't accept that logic. So therefore, according to Abaya, it's the other way around. If they're bringing it from Chutz La'aretz, then we would believe them. If they're bringing it from within Eretz Yisrael, we would not. And the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei da Abaya. We learn a braisa that agrees with Abaya's version of it. The Braisa says, Rav Shimon ben Elazar oiv mishum Rav Akiva, isha ne'emenes lahavi gita mikal v'chomer. A woman is believed to bring her own get. And now you would think maybe that she shouldn't. Should we have to be concerned maybe that she forged a get because she really wants to get out of being married with her husband? So we're not concerned about that. Now within Eretz Yisrael itself, there wouldn't even be a possibility of that, because what good would it do her within Eretz Yisrael to forge a get? The husband could then come and say, I didn't write it, and we would believe him. But when she comes from Chutz La'aretz and says, b'fanu nechtam, should we maybe have to be concerned that maybe she falsified and wrote a get from scratch and got Adam to sign it because she really wants to be out from under her husband, and she doesn't mind, she's willing to risk the consequences? No, we can learn that. It's not so. Mikal v'chaim. The Kal v'chomer is Ma Noshim She'omru Chachamim Ein Ne'emanes Lo Me'metzbaila. Ma doch these five women who the Chachamim do not trust them to say that her husband is dead, because as we said, they might be saying so falsely. Ne'emanes Lahavi Gita. Yet we believe them to bring her get. He She'ne'emanes Lo Me'metzbaila. So then the woman herself, who we do believe her to begin with, as we learned at the end of Yevamos, if she herself comes and says, my husband is dead, we do believe her. ain't a din. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer? Shouldn't a menes lahavi gita? That she should be believed to bring her own get. That we shouldn't have to be concerned that she may have forged it. And umi makam shabasa. And Rav Shimon Elazar continues. Now, once you're learning a kavachomer from the five women, and learning from that that she can bring her own get, then we can learn umi makam shabasa from where you came. In other words, we can learn also the following detail. Just like with the five women, when would it be kosher? Only if they say therefore, the woman herself, when she brings her own get, would have to say as we learned at the end of our Mishnah. So therefore, so that shows, now when are you saying b'fanenechtam? Only when you bring the get from Chutzlaret. So this braisa bears out what Abaya is saying, that the Mishnah that says that the five women can bring the get is talking specifically when they have to say b'fanenechtam, namely when they bring it from Chutzlaret. As opposed to Rabbi Yosef, who said that just the opposite, we wouldn't believe them in that case, and we would only believe them if they're bringing it in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, Omer Rav Ashi mas nisim nami deka. In fact, Rav Ashi says you can see from the actual wording of the Mishnah itself. If you're particular on the wording of the Mishnah, you'll see that it fits better with Abaya's opinion. Because the Mishnah continues with the case of the woman bringing her own get and saying b'fanenechtam. So therefore, Shema Mina, that shows that the entire Mishnah is talking about bringing the get from Chutzlaretz. So therefore, so if the last part of the Mishnah is talking about that case, we can assume very well, says Rav Ashi, that the previous part of the Mishnah is also talking about that, and therefore that we're talking about when do we believe any of the five women, only when they're saying b'fanenechtam. And when are they saying that? Only if they're bringing it from Chutzlaretz. Okay. Well, the question then is, Rav Yosef, Reisha v'Seifa v'Chutz La'aretz v'Mitziyasa v'Aretz. So then, according to Rav Yosef, what's going on over here? A previous Mishnah on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, we said that where we had that anybody is kosher to bring a get except to be a shliach halacha or a shliach hayvah, except for a cheresh shoyt v'katan, a blind person or a goy. And we said, what was the problem with a blind person is they can't say b'fanenechta b'fanenechtam. Now, when are they saying that? When they're coming from Chutz La'aretz. So according to Rabbi Yosef is understanding the first part of our Mishnah that we say that the five women can bring the get. He understands it to be an Eretz Yisrael. So what's going on? Rabbi Yosef, Reisha v'Seifa v'Chutz La'aretz v'Mitziyasa v'Aretz. Are you going to have to say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the previous Mishnah, Dan Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, is talking about bringing a get from Chutz La'aretz? Then our Mishnah switches to a case talking about where they're bringing in an Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yosef understands that that's where the five women could bring the get. And then the end of the Mishnah that talks about the woman herself saying b'fanenechtam is back to talking about Chutz La'aretz. Is that the style of a Mishnah to just shift back and forth like that without telling us? And the answer is, according to Rabbi Yosef, we have no choice. We have to say, Reisha v'Seifa v'Chutz La'aretz Mitziyas v'Aretz. Yes, we would have to say that is how the Mishnah is going. And in fact, there is a reason behind it. Mimai, it's not just that we're forced to say that in order to make Rabbi Yosef's opinion work. If it was just that, then Rabbi Yosef wouldn't necessarily stick by his opinion once we realize that point, but rather we can show that because the Mishnah after all continues, Ma ben get la misa. The Mishnah had said, as far as the five women, what's the difference between get and misa? Shak sav mechiyah. The Mishnah had said, because the writing of the get demonstrates that they're telling the truth. Now, v'loy katani shak sav opem mechiyah. It didn't say the written get plus the verbal statement proves that they're telling the truth. That implies, Rabbi Yosef says Rabbi Yosef, that we're talking about a case where there is no verbal statement. Where is there no verbal statement? Where is there no b'fanenechtam? When you're bringing an Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef will say, of necessity, the previous Mishnah that said a blind person can't bring a get, the only reason we could find the possible a blind person would be because they can't say b'fanenechtam, as we learned yesterday. So fine, that has to be talking about Eretz Yisrael, about Chutz La'aretz. Then our Mishnah begins about the five women, and it says, Shak Sav Mechiyach, that the writing of the get demonstrates that they're telling the truth. Since it only mentions the writing, that means necessarily the Mishnah is talking about a case where there's no b'fanenechtam, namely in Eretz Yisrael. And then the end of the Mishnah, where it again mentions saying b'fanenechtem about the woman herself bringing her get. Obviously, that would have to be chutzlaret. So it's not just that we're forced to by Rabbi Yosef's opinion. On the contrary, Rabbi Yosef's opinion, he says, is borne out by the wording of the respective Mishnayos. On the other hand, Rashi says, so what would Abaye answer to that? He says, because the Mishnah didn't need to say the words sabel peh. What the Mishnah means is that when it comes to the declaration of saying her husband is dead versus the declaration of b'fanenechtem, what's the difference? Why do we not believe them on one and we believe them by the other? Because the writing of the get that she's holding backs up what she's saying b'fanenechtem, because there's an actual written get over here. So therefore, Abaye doesn't consider that the Mishnah should have to say k'savu peh at all. Okay. The halacha is indeed like Abaye. So therefore the 5 women will be believed if they bring the get from Chutzlaret and saying b'fanenechtem, we're not concerned about the possibility that there might be actual edim that the husband might yet bring to say that it's forged. But if she brings it within Eretz Yisrael, where all we have is a written get, and then there's still the possibility that the husband could come and then protest that he didn't write it, then we're not going to believe them, because then they might be doing it in order to mess her up. Okay. Mishnah had said, Ha'isha atzma mevia v'chola. We said a woman can bring her own debt from Chutzlaret to Eretz Yisrael, but she has to be able to say b'fanenechtem. So the question is, why would she need to? Isha miti moti gitel yode igal shalei. As soon as she received the get, she's already divorced. At that point, Rashi says she could burn the get, she could destroy it, she could do whatever she wants with it. The only reason she's bringing it to us is to us, meaning Beis Din, is just to prove that she is in fact divorced, so that she can collect her ksuba so she can remarry. But she herself is not a shliach. Why should she need to say b'fanenechtem in order for the get to be valid? In fact, there's a couple of different ways that the Rishonim have of understanding the question of the Gemara. You could say that she shouldn't need to say b'fanenechtem. We should believe her always that it's a valid get. And in fact, the Rambam says exactly that. If a woman is holding a get of her own, then we say that she must be megurashes, even if we don't validate the signatures, because we assume that she's not going to bring a get that's going to be false and then mess herself up. Then on the other hand, the Raivad argues that it means, on the contrary, maybe it means b'fanenechtem is not enough to validate the signatures on a get. You need regular kiyum. You need regular kiyum a get. You need one of the regular methods of demonstrating that the signatures are valid. And then a third question is a third way of understanding the question is that look, what do you mean that unless she says b'fanenechtem, it's not going to work. The gerushin already took effect when she received it in Chutzlaretz. And what are we accomplishing now by saying that? In other words, saying b'fanenechtem would be effective in blocking any statement of the husband that it was no good. But the question is why the Mishnah needs to mention that when the fact is that the gerushin already took place. Anyway, so those are various ways of understanding the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Huna, b'omer, yes, but you could be talking about a case. The Mishnah would be talking about a case where the husband said, Loi tisgarshi boi elu b'fnei beis din ploini. I'm giving you this get, but I'm making a tnai on it that it won't take effect. You won't be considered divorced until you come in front of such and such a beis din. So therefore, she has to bring it to the beis din. But the Gemara asks, soif, soif, ki mati ahasim igar shalah. Okay, so then what is still? What does she need to say b'fanenechtem? At that point, she's already been divorced. So all it was is there was a tnai. So fine, he didn't make her a shliach. It was just a regular case of a tnai, which we're going to discuss in more detail later in the Masechta. And fine, as soon as the tnai is accomplished, the get takes effect. So why would she need to say b'fanenechtem in order to make it take effect? Ela Omer of Huna Baman Noyach Mishmeh of Acha Bred of Ika. Fine, you could have a different case. The Omer Law, he tells you, Ki Motis Chosam, when you get there to the Beis Din, at Atanche Aara, I'm making a Tanai, I want you to put the get down on the ground in front of Beis Din, Veshakliva, and then pick it up. So then you could say he's making her a shliach. He's making her a shliach to bring it over there and put it on the floor, and there's a shliach halacha up to that point. And therefore, you could argue, as a shliach halacha, she needs to say it before an echdom, before an echdom. Let's say because that's the tanai he made. A husband can put any tanai, any reasonable tanai he wants on a get. However, the problem with that is, if he does that, that wouldn't work. That amounts to saying that amounts to him telling her, pick up your get from off the ground. But Omar Rava, and Rava says later in the Masechta, that doesn't work. If he said, the fact is, you have to have, the Pasuk says, v'nosan v'yoda, that the husband gives it into her hand. So fine, you can have shluchim involved. You can have a shliach halacha who gives it to her. You can have a shliach hava who brings it to her. You can have a shliach kabbalah who, even once they receive it, then it's considered that shliach kabbalah stands in for her and it takes effect then. But you still have to have a giving from one person to another. You can't have where she just takes it. You can have it. You can throw it. As we're going to learn later in the Masechta, you have all kinds of possibilities, but it still has to be that it was given by one person to another. You can't have that he just tells her, pick it up off the ground. That wouldn't be a valid get. Even we're going to have later in the Masechta, we're going to have examples, let's say, where the husband has the get tied to his waist. If she were to pull the get out, that would be no good. Unless like he moves his waist or whatever closer to her, then that can be considered to a certain extent. Whatever, we'll talk about that later in the Masechta. But the point is that just her taking it on her own doesn't work. So therefore, it wouldn't work in this case either.
But how'd she get it until now?
Now, that's the point. In other words, just up until now, we're saying that he sent her as a shliach halacha. Now he's saying, when you come to Beis Din, then that shliach halachaship expires. At that point, I want you to put it down on the ground. But the problem is, then, that you don't have. She hasn't said that it doesn't work. Yeah. Ella said, no, we can say another case. Fine. So suppose that the husband tells her, you be a shliach halacha until you're standing in for me, until you reach there, until you reach that Beis Din. V'chim matis hasam, heavy shliach kabbalah. When you reach there at a Beis Din, then you're going to turn from a shliach halacha into a shliach kabbalah, the kabli at gittich, and you will receive your own get. So now, being a shliach halacha, up to that point, we would say she'd have to say b'fon a nechta. Nothing to do with putting it down on the ground anymore because we rejected that answer.
So nothing starts from the beginning.
So now we're saying, so now she's two kinds of shliach. She starts out as shliach halacha, standing in place of her husband until she comes in front of that Beis Din, and then all of a sudden she turns into a shliach kabbalah, where now that shliach kabbalah, being basically she herself standing in for herself, receives the get. But given that she was a shliach halacha until now, then she would need to say b'fon a nechta. As we're talking about, all this to the whole sugya is talking about. Yeah. However, the Gemara asks, that doesn't work. The problem with that way of understanding it is that the shlichus doesn't return to the husband. So there are a few different explanations among Rishonim what that means. Rashi explains, whenever you send a shliach, it has to be that conceivably the shliach could return to the mashalayach and say, I did your shlichus. You're supposed to do that, by the way. Rashi mentions in Parashat Yisrael, when it says, by Yoshev Moshe as Divrei Omal Hashem, that Moshe went and reported back to Hashem each time that the Jewish people had said Nasa V'nishma, that they say Ritzinenu L'Rasas Malkeinu. Hashem knows, of course, but still, Moshe wants to teach us Derech Eretz. The proper way of behavior is you come back and tell your Mashalayach, I did such and such. But that's Derech Eretz. But here we're talking about, as a matter of halacha, for shlichus to work, it has to be that conceivably he could come back and report. So then, even if he didn't actually report, but he could have, then that's considered a valid shlichus. So there's one second. But here, what happens though, as soon as we're saying that her shlichus expires. So in other words, the idea is what shlichus Rashi is explaining is you're being sent to do such and such, you do that, then after that, after you've accomplished your shlichus, then you go and report back, I did your shlichus. Now instead though, in this case, though, she became the Baal HaMaisa. It's not just that her shlichus ended, it's that now she became a different, now she has a different role to play in the Gerushin, namely that she herself becomes the one who's receiving it. So that means that her shlichus not only expired, it means now she's not even capable of being a shliach anymore, because now instead she has a different role, the Baal HaMaisa. So therefore, that's not called Chozer Shlichus Eitzel HaBaal, that she would be able to now go back to her husband and report back, I fulfilled your shlichus, because now she's not in the role of a shliach anymore. Now she has a different role. That's how Rashi learns.
But which is it? When is
so that point is, we were trying to answer. So we were trying to answer that she first she was a shliach halacha, a shliach of the husband, and then she became a shliach kabbalah. The problem with that is, so therefore, so you have a shliach of the husband giving to a shliach of a wife, and therefore everything is good. The problem with that is that she's not considered a shliach of the husband anymore if her shlichus is such that now she's become the baal hamaisa, the one who receives the get herself, and therefore now she doesn't have the ability to transition back to being the old kind of shliach and go report to the husband, I accomplished your shlichus. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says that no, what it means is that a shliach would be basically like Rashi, but slightly differently. You can't have that. You can't have a shliach where before they have a chance to report back, they become a shliach for somebody else. Here in the Gemara scenario, she's turning from the husband's shliach into her own shliach, because that's what the Gemara is giving the example, that she herself becomes a shliach kabbalah.
But the husband saying you should receive it, so he's still a shliach. She's still a shliach.
No, that's the point. In other words, to say that she becomes a shliach kabbalah can be only a shliach of the wife. So therefore, she's turning from a shliach of the husband into a shliach of the wife, and therefore that's no good. We have to say that he's telling her to become a shliach of herself, because otherwise, again, there's no need for v'fanei nechtam, v'fanei nechtam. As soon as the shliach halacha, which is again herself, gave it to her, then she would be megureshes, and that would be that. We have to find a case where she has to say v'fanei nechtam, v'fanei nechtam, but that's what the Gemara is assuming, that she's becoming two different kinds of shliach. But Tosfos understands the chos v'shlichos eitzel abal to mean that it has to be that before she becomes somebody else's shliach, she'd be able to go back and report that she accomplished it. And here it's not. By definition, we're saying as soon as she finishes one shlichos, she's immediately beginning a shlichos of somebody else. And of herself. But nevertheless, that would be enough to make that the shlichos of the husband can't be valid. And then the Meiri gives a third explanation. He says that it means that after all, the shliach halacha stands in place of the husband. The husband can't make himself a shliach kabbalah. Only the wife can appoint a shliach kabbalah. So therefore, how could she now be in effect appointing herself as a shliach kabbalah if she's, so to speak, the husband up until now by being the shliach halacha? Anyway, so that's the Gemara's, however you understand the Gemara's question. The point is, this scenario is not going to work. Okay. So the Gemara says, you're right. So let's try a different case. He tells her, heavy shliach lahilacha ad matis hasam. So fine, be a shliach lahilacha until you reach the base din in Eretz Yisrael. V'chi matis hasam, when you come over there, shavi shliach lakabbalah. At that point, you appoint somebody else to be a shliach kabbalah. So that fixes up the problem of the previous one. Not that she herself becomes a shliach kabbalah, but rather that he's telling her, the deal is that at that point, and again, this is a t'nai that he's making on the get, which is that at that point, you should appoint somebody else to be your shliach kabbalah. You now, in the role of shliach halacha, are going to give the get to that other person, and as soon as that other person receives it, you will be divorced. But because, till now, you were shliach halacha, and you're bringing from chutzlaretz, then the Mishnah is saying she's going to have to say b'fanei nechtam.
And so when does that shlichus end?
So that's the thing. So now we don't have the problem of chos v'shlichus eitzel abal. Her shlichus does not end and get replaced with a different shlichus. All we're saying is that her shlichus now she has to hand it off to somebody else. Fine, that's not a problem. Chos v'shlichus eitzel abal. She conceivably could. She's not the baal hamaisa, because at that point there's a shliach kabbalah instead, who's receiving the get instead of her. So Rashi's problem of chos v'shlichus eitzel abal doesn't exist. Tosfos's problem also doesn't exist, because she hasn't become a different kind of shliach. She remains a shliach halacha, because she now has to hand off that shlichus to somebody else who's now going to become a shliach kabbalah. And the Meiri's problem with it also doesn't happen, because the husband's not appointing the shliach kabbalah, she is. So that seems to have covered our bases.
It's just written down on paper, and she's in front of business. So
okay, the whole point is, we're trying to establish over here a case. The Mishnah had told us she needs to say b'fanei nechtam. Why would that be necessary? Or according to the Ravid, why is that enough to validate the get? If as soon as she received the get, she's divorced. Yeah. So that's why we're trying to find all these convoluted scenarios where, on the one hand, she herself is bringing her get from Chutz La'aretz, and on the other hand, she's required to say b'fanu nechta for it to take effect or for us to accept that it's a valid get.
Because that's the thing.
So far we're saying that she's a shliach halacha. So she's standing in place of the husband, and the shliach halacha is the one who has to say b'fanu nechta. But now, so we tried so far various possibilities how to make it work that yet she's the one receiving the get. So here's another possibility. So fine. So now we said a possibility is he tells her, I want you to be a shliach halacha until you reach Beis Din. Then when you reach Beis Din, you're to appoint a shliach kabbalah in their presence. And then, so you say b'fanu nechta, then you appoint a shliach kabbalah and you give that get to that shliach kabbalah, and the shliach kabbalah will stand in your place. And as soon as they receive it, the get takes effect. However, the Gemara says, Now, we're going to have later on in the Masechta, we're going to have a machlokas Rav and Rav Chanina, whether a woman is able to make a shliach to receive a get from her husband's shliach. So when we get in the sixth paragraph, when we start talking in detail about the dinim of the various kinds of shluchim of the get, so you're going to have like this. We know there are these three kinds of shluchim, halacha, hava, and kabbalah. However, the question is, we know, for example, then the husband can appoint a shliach halacha, and he'll stand in place of the husband, and the woman can receive the get from him, and that'll work. Vice versa, she can appoint a shliach kabbalah, and when the husband gives it to that shliach kabbalah, it takes effect. The question is, can you have both the husband and wife appoint shluchim? One has a shliach halacha, one has a shliach kabbalah, and therefore, so the get is going husband, shliach, and then that's it. It takes effect, and doesn't even need to go to her. Does that work or not? So according to Rav Chanina, who says that is valid, she can make a shliach to receive from her husband's shliach, and that works. So then, fine. Our scenario over here could work because that's exactly that. He makes her a shliach halacha to stand in place of him. Then he tells her to appoint a shliach kabbalah, which will stand in place of her, and Rav Chanina will allow that. El Olamanda Omar. But according to Rav, who says, for reasons that we're going to explain in a minute, that such a thing does not work. There always has to be on one side or the other, either the husband himself or the wife himself. You can have maximum one shliach in between, but not two, says Rav. One type of shliach, that is. Then what are you going to say? How are you going to explain the scenario of our Mishnah according to Rav? The answer is, why does Rav say in the first place that she can't appoint a shliach kabbalah to receive from the husband's shliach halacha is mishum de'ikah bizoyan habal? The reason would be because Rav would say, because it's an embarrassment to the husband. In other words, the husband is going to figure, look at that, she's mevaza me, she's putting me down so much, she doesn't even want to receive the get, she doesn't even want to receive the get from my shliach. She dislikes me so much that not only she doesn't want to receive the get directly from my hand, even my shliach is like, because he's standing in my place, is like repulsive to her, and therefore she can only bear to have a shliach receive it from mine. So therefore the husband doesn't like that idea, and he wouldn't be giving the get with that in mind. But over here, v'hocha ba'al le'kakavim, here, obviously, we see the husband doesn't mind because he's the one who gave her the instructions. So even Rav might agree that that's valid, and you could have two types of shliach in the middle over there. However, still, the Gemara says, "Hanichal mando amam shem bizoyin debal." Fine, well, that works out according to the opinion in the Gemara over there that says that Rav's reason is based on the concept of bizoyin. So here we're saying the husband doesn't mind, so therefore it's not a problem. El Lamanda Omar, but the Gemara also brings over there a different understanding that the reason why we don't allow her to receive to have a shliach kabbalah to receive from her husband's shliach halacha, according to Rav, there's another opinion in the Gemara over there that the problem is because it might be confused with the case mishum chatzera habala achamikan, because of the case of a chotzer that she receives later on. We talked about the other day a case where the husband throws a get into a chotzer. So we said if the chotzer belongs to her, then fine, she's migurashes. But we had a case where he throws it into somebody else's chotzer, and later on she buys the chotzer. That's no good because it means at the time there was no giving at the time. So now, so what happens? In other words, Rashi explains the chotzer in effect is a shliach halacha, and then she buys the chotzer and it becomes a shliach kabbalah. However, that's no good because the fact is the chotzer acquiring the get for her doesn't work on the grounds of shlichus. It works on the grounds of chotzer being, as we learned the other day, considered an extension of her yad, of her own hand. And therefore, it doesn't work if the chotzer didn't belong to her at the time. So people are going to make a mistake and think that they equate the chotzer to the shliach and think, just like it's kosher with two shluchim like that the same way, so the Gemara brings later on an opinion that Rav, therefore, doesn't allow a shliach to receive from a shliach because people might confuse it with such a case. Well then, that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says you don't really need to say that. How is somebody else's chotzer that she buys, how is that a shliach halacha? When later on she buys the chotzer. So rather, Tosfos says, no, what we mean is he put it in his own chotzer, then he sold it to somebody else, and then the woman bought it from that somebody else. So then you still have, the point is, in other words, the get is possible in that case, because there was no nesina, but nevertheless, people are going to think that it's too similar to shlichus, and they're going to think that if it's kosher with multiple shluchim, then it's also kosher with this chotzer changing multiple hands, and that would be wrong. Anyway, so then my ikal neymar. So then, according to that understanding of Rav, then what are you going to say? How would the case over here, where he tells her you be the shliach halacha, and then you appoint the shliach kabbalah, how would that work? According to that understanding of Rav, that wouldn't work because we would make a zera because people might think that in that case it's valid with a chotzer. So the answer is no. The Omar law, so we're talking rather the case of our Mishnah again, where she bring the get and says b'fanenechdem. As he tells her, heavy shliach lailocha ad the matis hasam, you'll be a shliach lailocha until you reach that basin. But if matis hasam, when you reach that basin, shabi shliach lailocha, then I want you to appoint another shliach lailocha, the kablius gitech minei, and you receive the get from that second shliach lailocha. So in other words, when we just said that Rav doesn't allow two shluchim, we mean of different types, a shliach lailocha giving to a shliach kabbalah. Then we said he wouldn't allow it for one of the two reasons, Vizoyan or because of the confusion with Chotzer. But when they're both Shlucha Halacha, then that's fine. One Shliach Halacha can give to another. In fact, we're going to have in the next Perek, you can even have sometimes Shliach Oysa Shliach. So therefore, fine. He tells her, you're a Shliach Halacha until you reach that base. Then another Shliach Halacha should receive the get from you, and then you'll take up the role of being the wife who receives the get, and you'll act your original role, and you will receive the get from the Shliach Halacha. So that way, we've covered all our bases. She is a Shliach Halacha, therefore she has to say b'fanenechdem. She's not giving it to a Shliach Kabbalah, therefore we don't have the problem with Rav's opinion. And there's chosra shlichos. She's giving it to a shliach halacha, to another shliach halacha, who in turn gives it to her. So that covers everything. We also have chosra shlichos etzal abal, because as soon as her shliach halacha has been accomplished, conceivably at that point, she could go to the husband and tell him, I was mekayim your shlichos. The fact that she didn't, again, doesn't matter, because she could have conceivably, and that's good enough for our purposes. So that would be one way. The kabbalist gitach minei, and you receive the get from that person. So that way we have, so here she's transporting her get from chutzlaret, and she still has to say b'fanenechdem, before she gives it to the second shliach halacha. The iboyisema, or the Gemara says, here's another way you could understand the scenario. Da'amala heavy shliach halacha ad the matis hasam. You be a shliach halacha until you reach there, until you reach the basin. But the matis hasam, when you reach the basin, emer kamei beidine b'fanenechdem. You declare b'fanenechdem to them, like any shliach halacha. Umeshavi beidine shliach. Then the basin should appoint a shliach halacha. The veisvua nialach, and that shliach halacha would give it to you. Now Rashi points out, we're going to learn in the next parak that. Suppose the shliach halacha is not able to get all the way to the woman to deliver the get. What he can do is he goes in front of Beis Din and he has Beis Din appoint a second shliach halacha. And then the second shliach halacha doesn't. So he said the first one says b'fanenechdem in front of Beis Din. Then the second one, when he brings the get to her, he says shliach Beis Din ani. I was sent by Beis Din, and he gives her the get. So therefore, that would be the second possibility over here. to make our Mishnah work, she was a Shliach Halacha, and the second Shliach Halacha will be appointed by Beis Din. So those are two answers of how our Mishnah could work. Tosfos says, why did the Gemara need to give two different answers? Iboris Ema implies that there's a certain possible flaw with the first answer, so I'll give you an alternate answer. So Tosfos says that actually because maybe you could say in the first case, why should she need to say b'fana nechtam, b'fana nechtam? She should only need to say that when she actually receives it. Tosfos says that maybe after all, yes, usually you say b'fana nechtam when the shliach is handing it over to the other person, but here she's still involved in the process at the time of receiving the get. Wouldn't it be better for her to say b'fana nechtam when the actual get is handed over to her and then the derushin takes effect? So therefore, that might be why the Gemara says the first scenario then has a bit of a flaw in it. Because then she should be saying b'fana nechtam, not when she first appears in front of Beis Din, but rather when her shliach halacha that she herself appoints gives it to her. As opposed to the second answer, then with the second answer would be that she doesn't have to say, that she can validly say b'fana nechtam when Beis Din appoints the shliach halacha and gives it, and then that shliach halacha gives it to her. That's how Tosfos learns. That's how Tosfos learns. A number of Rishonim learn the other way around. That actually in the second case would be where maybe she doesn't have to say b'fana nechtam. The first case would be where she does. Anyway, the point is that's why the Gemara gives you Boris Ema an alternate way of answering the question is because you might conceivably have that you wouldn't necessarily have that she said b'fana nechtam. In both cases, conceivably you could have only one. That in the first case she would need to say b'fana nechtam, and in the second case she would not because in the second case the second shliach needs to say shliach Beis Din ani, and therefore he needs to be appointed by the Beis Din in order to be able to say that. Whereas she herself would say b'fana nechtam as the first shliach.
Does he have to second shliach? Did they have to make a declaration?
Well, that's the thing. We're saying that's the thing. According to the first answer, according to Tosfos' answer, in the first case of the Gemara, you would say that the only one who needs to say anything is the woman herself, and she would say b'fana nechtam when she finally receives the get from the second shliach halacha. That's how Tosfos learns. And then the Rashba and a number of other Rishonim say that no, it's the other way around. Who would be saying b'fana nechtam? In the first case, she would say that when she gives it to the second shliach. In the second, and he doesn't need to say shliach based in ani because he doesn't, in the first answer, he doesn't need to be based in shliach. He can be her shliach. But in the second answer, where based in appoints him, then he would be saying, shliach based in ani, and then there's not necessarily anybody saying b'fana nechtam. Okay. Hadron alachem evigeh. So now we're going to start focusing on the din of writing a get l'shma. So the Mishnah says, "Kol get shenichtav shelo l'shum isha pasul." Any get that was written not for the name of this particular woman and not having this particular woman in mind is pasul. We learned in the previous parak, and we're going to discuss again in our parak. You have, of course, the opinions of Reb Meir and Reb Elazar about Edi Chasima or Edi Mesira, Kauti. According to Elazar, it means the get has to be written l'shma. According to Reb Meir, we said it doesn't have to be written l'shma, but it has to be signed l'shma. Yeah. Anyway, Ketzad, what are examples of that? First case, Hoya Ovi Bashuk, suppose the husband is walking down the street, the Shama Kil Sofrim Makrin, he hears the voice of Sofrim who are reading off from a get that they wrote, and the Gemara is going to explain, we're talking about where they're teaching the next generation of Sofrim how to write Gittin. We're going to explain in the Gemara. So therefore, they're telling them verbally, and they're reading off from the document in front of them, Ish Pliny, Megarish is Pliny, Mimachim Pliny. They have a get that says that Pliny is divorcing his wife Pliny from such and such a place. But Omar and the man walking down the street says to himself, hey, Zeshmi Zeshem Ishti, that's my name, that's my wife's name. Let me buy that get off you and I'll use it to divorce my wife. Nope. Possible Magarish boy, it would be possible because it wasn't written for Gerushin at all, as the Gemara is going to explain. It was written Bechlal just in order to practice. Yes, and we can, going beyond that even. not only where it wasn't written L'shem Gerushin, but even where it was written L'shem Gerushin, the Gemara is going to explain why we have a Chiddush in each one of these. So even more so, Kos of L'garish HaSishtoi, the man wrote the get intending to divorce his wife, V'nimlach, then he changes his mind, and decides that he doesn't want to divorce her, U'matzeh ben Iroi, another person from his town finds him, and he says, you know what, your name is the same as mine, my wife's name is the same as your wife's name, so give me that get, you don't want to use it anymore anyway, give it to me and I'll use it to divorce my wife, and the city is already correct in the get as well, so everything's good. Nevertheless, possible, garish, but it's possible because it wasn't written for this particular husband and wife. Yes, it all came. Yes, we can, rather. Even beyond that, the case where it was written for the particular husband, but not the particular wife. Suppose the husband had two wives, Ushmeisei and Shavos, and both of them have the same name. Kos of Lagarish of Abdullah, he wrote the get intending to use it to divorce the older one. Lo Yagarish, but it's a kana, that he's not allowed to use that one instead to divorce the younger one, or vice versa. Because even though it was written, L'shem the husband, it wasn't written L'shem that particular wife. And yes, and we can, going even beyond that. Omul Olav L'ksoiv L'ez K'soiv, suppose he just tells the scribe, write the get. And later on, I will decide which of the two wives of mine who have the same name I want to use to divorce. Then it's also possible to divorce with, because we didn't know at the time, this is the concept of Breira, so the Gemara is going to bring this with the Gemara. We'll learn tomorrow, Best Hashem, is going to bring up, this is an example, one of those examples of Breira, where we say it has to be known at the time what it's going to be, not that retroactively you find what it was going to be. So therefore it would be possible. In fact, Tosfos says that now you have throughout Shas Machlokas whether Breira works or not. In the end, the Gemara tells us in Beitza that the answer is, we say La Halacha, Breira works in things that are Bonan, but not things that are Daraisa. A get obviously being Daraisa, then Breira wouldn't work. But Tosfos says, the fact is, even the opinions that say that Breira does work in things that are Daraisa would say that over here, the fact is, the Pasuk does say, V'chos Avla, the get has to be written for her, implying Lashma, which means that it has to be clear at the time of the writing of the get who it's for. So therefore, so even that opinion would agree that it doesn't work over here. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. We said cost of the garish is ishtav nimlach b'chola. So this is not the beginning. The second case of the Mishnah was that the husband wrote the get. The second case was that the husband wrote the get. Then changed his mind, and somebody else found him and said, you know what, let me use that get instead. The question, where is Bela Reisha B'mai? Well, the question is, then what was the first case of the Mishnah? The Gemara, when it said that the Sofrim are reading a get that says that Ploini divorced his wife Ploinis, the Pashtus, the Gemara is understanding right now that it means that they're writing, previously the husband had told them, previously Reuven Goldstein had told them, I want to divorce my wife, write this get, and now Reuven Silverstein walks by and hears them saying it and says, you know what, I'd like that get for myself. So in that case, then it's the same case in the Mishnah as when Reuven Goldstein, keep in mind, last names are not written in the get. I'm just using Goldstein and Silverstein just to help distinguish them. Anyway, it sounds like the two cases in the Mishnah are the same thing, where Reuven Goldstein is commissioned the get, and now Reuven Silverstein wants to use it instead. So why is the Mishnah repeating itself? So Amar Rapapa, the Sofer and Hasurin Leislamet Askin. So Rapapa says the first case of the Mishnah is talking about it wasn't written for Gerushin at all, it's just written for Sofer to practice. Amar Ravashi, Dekanami, and Ravashi says, in fact, you can see that from the wording of the Mishnah. Dekotani Sofer and Makrin, it says the Sofrim are reading off to their Talmidim, are reading off. Velokotani Sofer and Kodin. Sofer and Kodin would imply that the Sofer is reading out loud what he just wrote. Sofrin Makrin suggests more that you're causing somebody else to read, that in other words, the sofer is reading off to them the nusach of the get, so that they can copy it out. So in other words, he has a sample get in front of him that mentions these names, and now he's reading to them that they should copy out from that sample and learn how to write Gittin themselves. So therefore, so Shmamina, that shows that that's what the Mishnah means. So the first case is it wasn't written L'shem Gerushin at all, it was written for a practice. The second case is talking about it was written L'shem Gerushin, but it was commissioned by Reuven Goldstein, and now Reuven Silverstein wants to use it. Okay. So the Gemara says, my yes and mikan. So what's the chiddush? What's the more than that that we have in each part of the Mishnah? What is each one adding to the previous one? So Tanit Vei Rabbi Shmuel. We learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel that it's like this. Loi zesh nichtav shaloi l'shum gerushin. Not only the first case where it wasn't written for gerushin at all because it was written only for practice, that there's less of a chiddush that that's possible. Even the second case of the Mishnah, where it was written for the purpose of divorce, when Reuven Goldstein commissioned that get, he fully intended to divorce his wife, and now he changed his mind. So even though it was written L'shem Gerushin, unlike the previous case, where it was only written for practice, nevertheless it's possible. Not only that case where at least you could say it wasn't written for his own Gerushin, possible. Not only that case, but even where it was written for his own divorce, because where we said that he wrote it intending to divorce his older wife named Rachel, and instead he wants to use it to divorce his younger wife named Rachel, so the bigger chiddush, even though it was written l'shma, nevertheless it wasn't written l'shma, because he had to have in mind the particular wife. And not only that, and not only that case where it wasn't written for the gerushin of this particular woman, even the last case of the Mishnah where it was written for the gerushin of this one, namely that it could have been, after all, he had in mind generically it'll be for one of my wives named Rachel. He just didn't decide at the time which one. So therefore, that's the last case of the Mishnah, and that's the biggest chiddush in all, that even that one is possible. And in fact, the Rashba explains in one of his Trubas that just that. If we say Ein Brera, then of course it wasn't written for any one of them. And since the Gemara is going to explain that all Mishnah is following the opinion that Ein Brera, then why is there a bigger chiddush in it? And he says, still, you could say that since he didn't write it for any particular one, you could say that maybe when he gives it to her, then it shows that it wouldn't really be a matter of Brera. It would be maybe a matter of that at that time it becomes Lishma. And nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling us it doesn't work. So, all those cases possible. So, my timer, now why is that? Why indeed are all these getting possible? So, the reason is like this. E cost of innocent safer crucis biyoda. If the Pasuk had just said that, that he puts a safer crucis in her hand and it didn't work, and it didn't say the words v'chosav la, hava aminilam u'teheach kama. Then he would say, fine, that only excludes the first case of the Mishnah, delay Obed Lishon Krisus, because after all, the get was not written for the sake of Krisus, for the sake of cutting off a husband and wife relationship. It was written, because the first case of the Mishnah was written only for practice.
Oh.
So therefore, so you would say that then that would say you would find, you would exclude that one. But the second case of the Mishnah, where he wrote the get intending to divorce his wife, then changed his mind, where after all, then it was written l'shem krusos, and therefore you have the nosan sefer krusos b'yada has been accomplished, ema kosher, you would think that it would be kosher. No, kosher rachman of a kosav, therefore the Torah adds the words that he writes the get, implying that it has to be that he wrote the get, or at least, you know, he commissioned it, he had the sofer write it as a shliach, whatever, but not, in other words, again, in the case of our Mishnah, where Reuven Goldstein had it written, and now Reuven Silverstein, who had nothing to do with it until now, comes and wants to buy it off him and use it. So the word v'chosav, is excluding that case. Then the e kosav rachmana v'chosav, but if the pasuk only said v'chosav without adding the word law. Then you would think, fine, that excludes the case where it was never written for this particular husband. That he's not writing again. But the next case of the Mishnah, where he himself has two wives, he himself wrote it, so you have the chosav has been accomplished, ema kosher, you would think it ought to be kosher. No, kosher rachman Allah, mishma. Therefore the pasuk adds the word law. Meaning that it has to be written for her sake.
That's why the fact that there's two different names here.
That's what we're saying. In other words, so we're talking about the two wives of this husband have the same name. So therefore, when he wrote the get, he had the proper name is in there, and so therefore the chosav has been accomplished. Sefer Krusos has been accomplished because it was written l'shem gerushin. But you know you're missing the law because it wasn't written for her. It was written for a different woman. So therefore, so. So lishma, that has to be lishma. And the Gemara asks the Seifa Lamali. Well, in that case, then what is the Seifa adding to us? If we're already saying that it has to be Lashma, then so it's Hakamashmon, the less Breira, the Ein Breira. That's it. The Mishnah wants us to know that in this kind of case, Ein Breira, we wouldn't say that he could write it generically, having in mind whichever Rochel I later on decide to divorce, and that should work. No, we say it has to be clear at the time the get is written which one it was for. Again, we could say that our Mishnah is specifically going according to the opinion that Ein Breira, as we'll learn tomorrow, Baz Hashem, or we could say, like Tosfos, that even the opinion that holds that usually Yesh Breira would agree over here because it says law that it has be written particularly for her. Okay. Fine. So we'll continue tomorrow with this. That's the end.